The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this.
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. Friday, July 26th on NBC and Peacock.
The Broncos have brought me back and afforded me the opportunity of a lifetime, a summer internship. The 2021 Broncos schedule is being released today, and since everyone is really busy today, I thought I would take the initiative in helping out wherever I can. Two hash browns, X skinny post. Yeah, it's going great.
What the f***?
All right, I beat them, destroyed them, beat them. Yeah, this looks great. I'm gonna go print it right now.
You know, it's funny. I hadn't seen any of that.
Really
as
good.
It began, I braced myself for something cheesy and corny.
Why?
But I just braced myself for it.
You know,
because
Peyton.
So many. Can I just say something? Let me finish, please. Good morning, first of all, Chris. I love you, but let me finish. But then it's Peyton, and Peyton can sell anything, and Peyton makes it funny, and Peyton makes it good because we're now bombarded with these efforts by the social media teams to one-up each other. And some of them miss the mark, and I'm not going to say which ones because I don't want to denigrate the hard work these folks put in, but some of them are trying too hard. So I was ready. I was ready to think, oh, they're trying too hard. With Peyton, just right. Well done, Denver Broncos. Unfortunately, it doesn't count in the win column for September, where you haven't won a game since 2018. But if it did, you'd be 4-0.
It's awesome. I mean, Peyton, like, really, is there ever been a better, like, superstar actor on commercials and things like that than Peyton Manning? I'm dead serious. I think he's as good as I've ever seen, no matter what it is. It's always funny or creative. I mean, I don't know if the guy's got a hand in the damn writing of these segments or how they go, but no, I'm like dead serious. Who are some other people through, you know, the pantheons of great sports people in history here that you think are that type of personality? Where it's like really almost every commercial and everything he's a part of, you come away going, damn, that was pretty good. I'm laughing.
And I don't mean this in a negative way at all. Although that's not the ideal.
You've started off very negative today. Hello.
But can I just say, well, you know what? I'm
tell everybody. Go ahead. Tell everybody.
No. I got a couple different things to say about that.
First of all, salty bastard, you.
I feel like the world is being deprived of Peyton Manning's talents. That he has it. He's got the ability. He could do all sorts of things that he's not doing.
Yeah.
Come on, Peyton, do some more stuff. Quit teasing us once a year with a flash as to the entertainment you could bring us. Now, by the way, he's hosting the Quiz Bowl reboot on NBC, and that is not intended as an overt advertisement for the show that I think is coming back next month.
Yeah.
But we are at least going to be entertained by Peyton Manning. He's got a lot to give. Quit hoarding it, Peyton. Come on, man. You know you want to do it. get more involved. Get out there. Get on a sitcom. Do something because he's got it, baby.
Let me say this. Yes,
I am intoxicated by all this schedule information. I am thrilled. It's like Christmas morning. I don't know how much longer we can extend the hype, but we're going to do it for the next couple of hours. And let me tell you this. I'm so excited. For the first time in decades, I forgot to shave this morning.
Wow. You know, I could tell a little now that you said it. I did not really notice, though. I could see just a little shadow around, you know, your upper lip there and things like that. So that's good. I'm glad. That's nice. All right.
I just forgot. I haven't forgotten in decades. Wait. It has me concerned that it may be an age-related thing, but I just forgot. I'm so smitten with the schedule that I forgot to shave.
Woo! I mean, really, you're a trip, man. You're a trip. And we're going to get to schedules here in a minute, all right? But like,
what do you mean I'm a trip?
You're a trip. You host a football TV show, all right? And there's like two events every year where you get to up to your, like, your limit. It just, you can't take it anymore. And I've seen it with the draft, which is inevitable when you're the host of an NFL TV show where you're like, I can't take it. It's all a crapshoot. None of us know. And then here with the schedule, you sit down this morning and Pete, you know, I don't want to hear it. I'm a little cranky. I'm up to here with the schedule. Yeah, somebody's got a case of the Mondays on a Thursday. And it's my Friday, so cheer up, buddy, okay?
It's just funny how over the course of 24 hours, you can get to the point where, okay, enough. Now, we'll make it 26 hours. We will tell you plenty about the schedule, and there are some great things to talk about, but it's reached the point of saturation. I think that's something the NFL needs to be sensitive to. Maybe I need to retract my idea from yesterday that they should bleed it out 1 hour at a time over the course of the day, because maybe by noon, folks will say, okay, enough. We get it. You're playing football games this fall. But that's what we're going to talk about for now. But we got some important things to discuss. It relates to the two quarterbacks who have dominated the news coverage this offseason. One, Aaron Rodgers. That's coming up in our next segment. And then two, a Deshaun Watson update that I think is significant and important. And that's coming up later in this hour. For now, though, schedule. Baby.
Oh,
and
baby.
It begins with the biggest game of the year. This was leaked yesterday by one of your former employers, Bleacher Report. I don't know how they got this information, but somebody doesn't have their info as buttoned up as they should, folks. Buccaneers at the Patriots, week 4, NBC, 8:20 p.m. Eastern time. Tom Brady returning to Gillette Stadium for the final time, and as Michael David Smith is going to be posting at PFT, if he hasn't already, if Brady throws at the rate that he generated last year in terms of yardage,
right,
he will set the all-time career passing record in that game at Gillette Stadium.
Oh,
wouldn't that be something?
Like, amazing. It really would be. You could say what you want, no matter what. I mean, I'm proud of NBC, of course, just because I work for them. But, man, to get that game, that's the crown jewel game of the NFL season. To get Tom Brady going back home to Boston, New England, Foxborough forever, whatever you want to call it, with – you know, all
oh, wait, Julian Edelman is going to be playing for the Buccaneers? Is that what you're saying?
He'll be on the sideline. That's
Foxborough
for sure.
Forever?
I mean, that is the game. I mean, it really is. I would think that's going to break every Sunday night football rating we've ever had or anything like that. But how could you not be tuned into that? I mean, Brady and the Bucs, as good as they are, the Patriots have a down year, and they've won the offseason this year, especially in free agency. There's just so many questions and cool things about it, and that just adds to it, the fact that he could be the all-time passing leader.
I wonder how hard it will be for the Buccaneers and the Patriots to focus on their first three games, knowing that the Patriots game is looming. Now, the other Buccaneers players won't care nearly as much as Tom Brady, so maybe it's more of a distraction for the coaching staff in New England the first few weeks, but they don't get distracted by anything. But the Buccaneers, look, they begin their defense on NBC against the Cowboys. We knew that yesterday, and then as of last night, we knew that 3 weeks later, it'll be back on NBC with that game against the Patriots, and it is the game of the year. Chiefs-Packers, if we knew Aaron Rodgers was playing,
right,
we'll talk more about that coming up, then it would be bigger. Not bigger. It would be bigger than it is now. but it's still not reaching Tom Brady's last game ever, most likely at Gillette Stadium. And there are five primetime games for the defending champions. You would think that they'd have maybe gotten a sixth somewhere. They've got that kickoff game, week four at the Patriots, and then week six, the Thursday night game at the Philadelphia Eagles, a team that beat Tom Brady in a Super Bowl, although I don't think there are any players left, maybe a handful from the team that beat Tom Brady in the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
week
many.
11, Monday Night Football against the Giants, a team that beat Tom Brady twice in the Super Bowl. I like that someone's a little cheeky in picking these games for primetime. And then week 15, the Saints come to town, Sunday Night Football. And remember what happened last year when the Saints came to town, Sunday Night Football. It was over by the end of the first quarter.
It was a butt-whooping, yeah, I know. It was one of the biggest butt-whoopings we saw all year. I mean, really, actually really amazing and rare that you ever see a Super Bowl-winning team lose a game like that in a regular season. But I think the good thing for the Bucks, like you talked about, like, hey, everyone's going to have the bright lights on the Patriots. But when you look at the schedule, the thing they can look at, hey, get your sea legs underneath you, whatever, get the Super Bowl cobwebs. At base level, I know this is the NFL, and we're not taking anything for granted. But I can sit here in mid-May right now and go, the Buccaneers are better than the Cowboys and Falcons and should be able to win those games, even not playing their best football, to where they get a little, okay, now we're back in the swing of things. We're over all the Super Bowl stuff and everybody talking how great we are and everything like that, to where you get going into the rhythm of the year. And I think that's going to be kind of important for them. They get that home game to kick off the year. There's going to be excitement there. And then, of course, the Falcons are in a semi-rebuild. So that does give them a little of a luxury to get going there early on.
And, you know, some teams have a difficult stretch at the end. Some don't. Panthers, Jets, Panthers, the last three games for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Nothing against the Panthers. The good news for the Panthers is they don't have to take their medicine from the Buccaneers early. They get a chance to see what this Sam Darnold team is going to be, and maybe they'll be a lot more confident, a lot more able, a lot more seasoned when the end of the season rolls around. So glass half full for the Panthers.
Yeah, I think so.
They're going to be the best version of whatever they are this year when we get to week 16, 17, 18, or it won't matter. The games won't matter because they'll be done by then.
Yeah, no, I mean, listen, we talked about that a lot. I think you and I are both in agreement about that early season getting momentum, especially for teams like the Carolina Panthers. We don't know what they can be. We don't. They gave the Buccaneers some issues last year. And, Mike, when you look at the Panthers' schedule here this year, it's set up for a young team, a young coaching staff to kind of like, hey, get some momentum. You know, they got the Saints in week two, all right? And we know, okay, yeah, the Saints are better. But you look at the rest of their games and you talk about Jets, Texans, Cowboys, Eagles, Vikings, Giants. Those are all their games other than that week two against the Saints through 7 weeks to where, you know, to your point kind of yesterday, that's what can get a Sam Darnold and Robbie Anderson and McCaffrey and Matt Rhule and some of those young defensive players going, damn, I think we're pretty good. We're 4-2 and things like that. So maybe they are one of those unknown players that pops up for the 2021 season.
The Buccaneers have their bye week 9 this year. Remember last year it was week 12, and that was the moment that was able to propel them past their funk, and they didn't lose a game after that. Not the same issues this year because the entire team is back together again, and that team is riding an 8-game winning streak. And one of my projects for when the show is over is to find the current lines for all the Buccaneers games, and lines have been set for all of the games, except for maybe some of the Packers games. That's another thing we're going to look into. But I would suspect the Buccaneers are favored in most, if not all, of their games this year. The one at New Orleans, I don't know.
Right.
And that one's going to be hard because we don't know who the quarterback's going to be.
Sure.
But, you know, last night I was watching NFL Network. Kurt Warner tried to get Lavonte David to go there with the possibility of the Buccaneers going undefeated. He wouldn't take the bait. But, yeah, we always kind of have that vibe with the defending champion because that's what we remember.
Yeah.
We saw them hoisting the Lombardi. We think they're unbeatable. But when you consider they brought all their guys back, it is tempting to look week by week and say, where's the game that you look at and say, man, you're going to have a real problem that night?
Well, I mean, I look at week 3 and they go through a little stretch there, right, with the going to the Rams. I mean, I don't think that's going to be any cakewalk, right? Not with Matt Stafford and McVay and that group out there. So I think that little stretch, week 3, 4, and 5, that'll be a good test just early on in the season to see where they are at as a football team. If they can kind of get through that 5-0, where they go beat the Rams, beat the Patriots, beat the Dolphins, and then go into that Thursday night Philadelphia game undefeated, I mean, watch out. Yeah, I mean, they still got some other teams, the Bills and the Colts on their schedule that assert, and the Saints one more time. But, you know, NFL, I don't think about undefeated anymore. It's funny. I don't. I never really pops in my brain because I just look at it to be so, so hard. And it's just so rare that it rarely pops into my brain.
You know, the only thing that would be better than facing the Dolphins at home would be facing the Dolphins in Miami, because we know that has been a trouble spot for Tom Brady in the past. And when you look at all those games, now with the 17th, yeah, it's going to be difficult for anybody to come close to going undefeated. But when Tom Brady joked 2 weeks ago that he'd give up 2 Super Bowls for an undefeated season, you know that that's one of the items that he would very much love to have when he walks off into the sunset. By the way, did you notice yesterday his trolling of the Dallas Cowboys? He can't wait to face quote-unquote America's team with the WandaVision wink gif, the big hard wink, America's team.
Right.
That's Tom Brady. He can get away with it. When you got 7 rings, you can get away with that crap. And I got a kick out of it. I'm sure the Cowboys are going to use that to their advantage. Not that it's enough to bridge the talent gap.
No, it doesn't. Tom Brady doesn't give a damn. He knows he's going to be competing and ready to go no matter what. So I like that about Brady, too. I do. I like his social media game. It's pretty damn good. It's funny, you know. And Brady's not afraid to be a little edgy when it comes to competition and call people out or anything like that. I've always appreciated that about him. You know, I look at their schedule, too, Mike. Like, I don't know. The dynamic of the bye week has changed a little bit in my brain, too, because of the extra game and where it is. And, like, you look at the Bucks, we talk about their schedule, all those things. That Week 9 bye week is just that you can't handpick that, I don't think, any better. As a player, as a coach, that is exactly kind of where you'd want it. You know, in the middle, hey, we get in a little groove early on. We don't get disrupted with the early bye week. You know, that's the time of the year you get to Week 8, 9 where you're just going, man, my body's beat up. I'm tired. I'm exhausted from the everyday grind of this. You know, to kind of get that, hey, let's get away for a few days and recharge to go into that second half of the year. And also not have that second half of the year interrupted, you know, to gain momentum and go into the playoffs. For me as a player, that was always one thing I looked at, and that's a pretty damn good bye week for them.
And speaking of bye weeks, this year, because it's an 18-week season with 17 games, the Eagles, Dolphins, Patriots, and Colts all have Week 14 byes, which is ridiculously late for your bye week. That's a long way to go before you get a chance to collect yourself in the Patriots. A likely contender this year, they're gonna have to hold it together for 13 weeks.
Say those teams again, Mike, the late bye week ones. I wasn't even aware
Eagles,
of that.
Eagles, Dolphins,
right.
Patriots, Colts, Week 14 bye.
Man, you're going to be beat up by that point. And the weird thing about that is, like, you're kind of getting your second win during that time of the year. You're almost, I don't know if you're going to even like that as a team. To have that, like, December, we're supposed to be peaking mentality, right? I mean, how many times do we see, like, the great Super Bowl teams are undefeated in December? This team hasn't lost since November, and here they are in the Super Bowl and all of that. That would be one I'd look at and go, damn, we got to play 13 weeks before we get a bye week, and we're going to get our last little run here when we're getting ready for the playoffs interrupted. That's a bad one.
And that is December 12th.
Jeez.
That is deep into the season.
That is.
For the bye weeks for those four teams. Let's talk about the Kansas City Chiefs, the team that lost to the Buccaneers in the Super Bowl. Week 2, Sunday Night Football. This was one of the most anticipated games on the schedule last year. The date with the Ravens, the team that refers to the Chiefs as their kryptonite. Week 2, no screwing around early on. Chiefs at Ravens. That is a sneaky great game that we're going to have on NBC, Chris.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, how could you not? Lamar, Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes has the number of this great Baltimore Ravens defense. They kind of know it. They're not going to back down from the challenge. You know, Mike, they might be one of those teams, you know, that we talked about yesterday about how you prepare for the early season games. The Ravens, with their issues with the Chiefs, they might take a week at some point in the offseason and go, let's practice what the Chiefs do and just get a little head start on all of that. But, man, that's always awesome. I mean, that to me is, yes, an early awesome football game with major playoff implications. Could come down to who wins the tiebreaker and seeding and everything like that. But anytime Mahomes and Lamar are on, we're watching.
And then 3 weeks later, Bills Chiefs. Holy crap.
Wow.
What a start to the season. And I don't want to be one of those guys that like goes over the top about the schedule that our network got. But holy crap. I mean, really, you got the Cowboys Bucks out of the gates. You got Ravens Chiefs a week later. Then you got Buccaneers and Patriots, we've already discussed. And then the week after that, you got Bills Chiefs. And I think there's a 49ers Sunday night game sandwiched in there as well.
Yeah, no, it's a pretty strong schedule we got. We certainly shouldn't be bored or worried about our matchups this year on Sunday night football, that's for sure. But, you know, you look at Kansas City, those first three games, they're tricky when you look at the schedule. You know, again, the Browns got great belief, and their playoff game in there last year is only going to give them confidence to think that they can go in there and win another football game. And then they're going to look at themselves and go, wait, we're a better team. We're bringing in, you know, some different studs this time around, too. John Johnson's here. Jadeveon Clowney's here. You know, those type of players, that's going to change that aspect. Ravens are going to be foaming at the mouth. And we know the Chargers are up and coming. So it's a tricky little start of the year for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I hope they're not, you know, pouting about their Super Bowl loss for too much.
I was on 106.7 The Fan yesterday with the Junkies talking about that Chargers-Washington game right out of the gates. Look, I want to get the Chargers early if I can. Week one, that's when Washington gets them. Week three, that's when the Chiefs get them the first time. That week 15 game, that Chargers team is going to be a lot better, Chris.
I mean, agreed. They're, you know,
not that it's going to be bad early, but if no. I want to get a team that I feel like is on the rise, kind of under the radar on the rise, I want them early. I don't want them when they have become what they're going to be.
Yeah, talented, under the radar, big-time quarterback, you know, a new head coach, so the defense is going to be learning the new system, new offensive coordinator with Joe Lombardi out there and everything like that. So that is the time to catch them. That hopefully they're, you know, if you're the Chiefs or a team that's playing those Chargers, yeah, hopefully they're not used to the new style of football, which they're playing out there, and you catch them. But, yeah, the Chargers are, again, I think, Mike, again, another one of those teams that you just put out there to go, hey, every year we see it. Teams that don't make the playoffs somehow find a way in the next year. I mean, the Chargers, we know they're capable of being a playoff football team. It's just going to be interesting to see how that coaching unit and players all come together.
Five primetime games in all for the Kansas City Chiefs, subject to the possibility of a Week 10 flex, although it usually takes a lot to get a flex to kick in before Week 11. That's the Sunday night game at the Las Vegas Raiders. Week 15, Thursday nighter at the Chargers. That obviously won't be flexed. Monday night, Week 8 against the Giants. So we'll see plenty of Patrick Mahomes again this year. We'll see plenty of Patrick Mahomes every year that he's in the NFL because he's one of the best players that's ever played the game, and they like to get those big games in big spots, and they have several of them this year. They play playoff teams from last year in five of their first seven games, though, so the Chiefs had better be ready to go out of the gates. No slippage early, and we know this is a team last year that really only lost one regular season game that they were trying to win. Their second loss came week 17. They didn't start Patrick Mahomes, so they have been on a regular season roll for an extended period of time. Really, ever since Mahomes came back from the knee injury in 2019, they've been virtually unbeatable.
Yeah, they have. I mean, they're always ready to play. I mean, when they're not ready to play, it's like, right, Mike? It's almost like, okay, they're playing down to the level of this team a little today, but like you never get the sense that they're really going to lose even when they do that. You just feel like, ah, they're being the Chiefs. They're messing around. They'll find the gas pedal here at some point. But you're right. I don't think they got that luxury this year, you know, with the schedule. This schedule was definitely one of the ones to me that jumped out where I just went, whoa, that's pretty tough right there. I mean, other than the Eagles week four, I mean, every one of those teams and rosters they're about to play, especially the first 9 weeks of the year up to that Packers game on the left column there. I mean, even the teams that you look at, like Washington, I know we don't look at them as like a juggernaut, but damn, we know that defense is good. They're going to get better on that side of the ball, signing William Jackson, all that. I mean, they're an up-and-coming team. And even the Giants at 8, where those are two games you look at and go, well, Kansas City should win. Like, I, you know, yeah, okay, I know, but it's not going to be easy. Those are going to be two very improved football teams with really good defenses and creative defensive coordinators, to where I look at this Chiefs schedule and I wouldn't be shocked to see them maybe, you know, a 6-3 or you know, at 1.4-3 and kind of like struggling to find their way here early on in the year.
Well, and if that's the case, goodbye to the bye, because there's only one available, and chances are there's going to be another team that's,
yeah,
you know, somebody, when you got that many teams, somebody's going to get off to an ultra-hot start in the AFC. I guess there's always a chance they're going to cluster around, you know, 500. But if they stumble early, then, you know, you have to assume at some point you're going on the road in the postseason. Not that they can't win on the road, but you always want to be at home if you can. Week 9, if you noticed, at the bottom of that first column, that's the Packers game
at Kansas City.
That's the game that's the result for the Chiefs and the Packers of the 17th game, the extra game that wasn't previously on the schedule, an interconference battle based on a rotation by divisions and where you finished in your division, first place AFC West, first place NFC North, Packers at the Chiefs. 4:25 p.m. Eastern on a Sunday, and I assume that if Aaron Rodgers is not playing for the Packers, they'll be able to swap that out for a Broncos game that week. I didn't check the Broncos schedule week 9, but if all else fails, and I'm going to do that now while we speak, but if all else fails, you can put a Broncos game at 4:25 in there. Oh, they play that day at 1 o'clock Eastern against the Cowboys. They
could
slide that to 4:25.
Man,
there we go. It's either going to be Chiefs Packers or Aaron Rodgers back in Dallas on that day.
I mean, it's no coincidence. I mean, I know you watched a little of the NFL channel, the draft stuff last night and everything like that. That one point they talked about this little element, and that, you know, the NFL Network, They put out their investigative reporters and all their people for all their connections, really, to figure out the Rodgers situation. And, you know, they admitted that there was a lot of thought by the NFL of the Packers and Broncos schedule and to make this thing work the right way. So, obviously, even the NFL own channel thinks if Rodgers gets traded, it will be the Denver Broncos.
And why would they not? I think it was with Dan Patrick yesterday, and he asked the question. Does the NFL, you know, does the commissioner call Mark Murphy, the Packers CEO, to figure out what's going on? Well, somebody's calling somebody to figure out what's going on. They have access to these people,
right?
If you're not, you should be.
Yeah.
And that's a fairly important decision. Where are you going to drop that Chiefs Packers game? Are you going to put it in prime time? Are you going to flex it out? Are you going to put it at 4:25 p.m. Eastern? And I suspect that there have been plenty of cell phone minutes, to the extent those are even tracked anymore, racked up between 345 Park Avenue, Green Bay, Denver, Aaron Rodgers' agent, Aaron Rodgers himself. Please hold for the commissioner. I wonder who gets the, in that phone call, who's the one that's got the juice to be the one whose assistant says, please hold? Is it please hold for Aaron Rodgers, future host of Jeopardy, or is it please hold for the commissioner?
I think Rodgers has got the one up on this one. I do. I think this is one of those where the commissioner will be reaching out to him, so he's got to deal with Rodgers' assistant in this case. You know, even though Roger Goodell is more powerful as far as the league's concerned, I think Roger Goodell also realizes Aaron Rodgers probably more important right now as far as the league's concerned, at least at this moment. So I'm glad either way that they got that figured out. And we've been cheated out of this, the Mahomes Rodgers thing, cheated. You know, you said it a little yesterday. 2 years ago, Mahomes got hurt with the kneecap thing in the Broncos game, and Rodgers went into Kansas City, and they played a great game, found a way to win, and he made some unreal throws to where you'd go, oh, I wish Mahomes was playing tonight, because he would have tried to one-up some of those Rodgers throws. Remember that when he was, like, falling on his back? He threw, like, the deep post in the middle early in the game, and then he had the other one where he was falling backwards and threw the touchdown in the back of the end zone. Like, that was about to be, like, Magic versus Larry horse game coming up, I think, if Mahomes is out there. And then we missed it in the Super Bowl last year. So I'm hoping we get it here. I'm hoping the stars align so we can see what I would say is like two of the most physically gifted quarterbacks we've seen in this league over the last 20 years.
Well, we're either going to get it once, Chiefs-Packers, we're going to get it twice, Broncos-Chiefs, And in theory, there's a chance we get it zero times. And if I'm the league, that's all I care about. I want one of the greatest players in NFL history on the field. If there's any nudging to be done,
it's nudging
to get him on the field. Hey, Green Bay, if he's really not going to show up, then why don't you trade him? Come on, trade him. Come on, we need this guy on the field. We got a product here we're trying to sell. You can't let this guy walk off into the sunset. He's still got football left in the tank. He's one of the great players of all time. We want people watching the game. So you just wonder how overt any of that is, how far they go in those conversations to flat out say, we want this guy to play this year, figure it out. But we'll find out what the product of it is. Now, we're going to take a break. When we return, a closer look at the Packers' schedule, plus another comment yesterday from an Aaron Rodgers surrogate who apparently takes issue with me referring to him as an Aaron Rodgers surrogate. We'll discuss that next on this Thursday edition of PFT Live.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
For the world's greatest athletes.
This is the showdown we've been waiting for.
There is nothing like competing on the world's biggest stage.
It's a world record again!
Goal for the United States! Unbelievable!
And when that stage is Paris, anything can happen.
I have never seen anything like this!
How about that?
An Olympics unlike any other.
What a performance!
The Paris Olympics. This summer on NBC and streaming on Peacock.
I'm ready to go.
Streaming now only on Peacock. Five rich and famous international soccer stars. They have everything except love.
I think girls in the past have gone for me because of what I've got.
That's why we're going undercover.
We're setting them up with single American women.
They don't know we are famous. They don't know we are rich.
And they'll have to hide their true identity.
What do you need for work?
I'm an ad salesman.
Oh, God. What am I doing?
Love Undercover. New series streaming now only on Peacock.
Teams that have five primetime games, more than five, looks like 10, looks like a lot. And I don't think anyone has six yet, but you could, subject to flexing. The maximum now is seven because of the 17th game, but there they are. And what a shocker. Marquee teams get more primetime games.
Is it?
What a shock.
Well, is that more than normal to have that many that have five, right? I mean, I don't know. I don't know that for sure. It's just that you know, at you know, eye level here, looking at it, and a guy who's paid attention to football his whole life, I don't remember years where it's like this many teams have five primetime games. So maybe I'm off base there.
Well, we've got three per week primetime windows, 18 weeks, three times 18, carry the one is 54. So, yeah, that's a lot of windows you got to fill, and you got two teams. So you got 108 primetime placements in a given NFL season now between Thursday night, Sunday night, and Monday night. So doesn't surprise me. As Pete says, who apparently has a calculator handy, the average team should have 3.5 primetime appearances. There are multiple teams out there who will remain nameless that don't merit 2.5 or even 1.5 primetime appearances. So you're going to put the best teams in primetime. It's good for everybody. And, you know, the importance of that, I think, will wane as we get to the point down the road where you have real-time in-game betting. We're not going to care who's playing. It's still got cachet, big picture. But when people can bet on every given play, it won't matter as much as it does now to have the best teams in those spots. The Packers have five of those spots. Go ahead, you got something to say?
I was just going to say, like, out of those that list there with those five, you know, primetime games, all those teams there, did you think all of them are deserving of it? Like, did any of those teams surprise you? If you could throw that graphic back up there, Kristen.
Let's put the list back up because I don't have it committed to memory. I would say that the one team that stands out is the 49ers because I don't know what they're going to be.
Yeah.
But even if Jimmy Garoppolo starts, they're probably going to be pretty good. Pete says the Cowboys because he's a Giants fan.
And, well, and record-wise,
they're still, they still bring eyeballs. And although last year, remember, it was a Cowboys game that got flexed out of primetime for Browns Giants for crying out loud. So you know, it's starting to crumble a little bit, I think.
I would say so too. But okay, I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that. Those are the two teams that jumped out to me there. But you know, obviously the TV networks and everything, yeah, they expect those teams to be better. And I think Vegas does. And, of course, yeah, a lot of eyeballs watch the 49ers and especially the Cowboys.
49ers, Cowboys, the only two teams from that list that didn't have a winning record last year. For the 49ers, the reason was the injuries. But there's going to be a team racked with injuries. One of those 10 teams, I'll say the over-under of which one is severely impacted by injuries is going to be 1.5. That's the over-under.
Yeah, right.
Because at least one is going to be so hampered by injuries it screws up their season, and maybe there will be two of those 10 teams that we saw, and that's why the flex is so important late in the year, and eventually a Monday night flex is coming into play, but that doesn't begin for a couple more years when the new contracts kick in. I think 2022 is when officially the new Monday Night Football contract begins. Flexing out late season Monday night is going to be part of it, which, you know, anyone who sat through a crappy Monday night game because the teams ended up one or both not being nearly as good as we thought they'd be when the schedule came out, well, we're going to be happy, just like we've been happy since 2006 that NBC and the NFL have the power to put a better game in primetime.
Definitely.
The Packers in primetime 5 times, despite the unsettled Aaron Rodgers situation. And you know what? It ended up being a smart move. You know why, Chris?
Why?
They got Blake Bortles on the team now, your second favorite quarterback in the NFL.
Yes, that's right, baby. All their troubles are answered. It really doesn't matter if Rodgers comes back now. It really doesn't. They don't really need him. He's expendable. You know, Bortles is there. It's all said and done. So, hey, I mean, in all seriousness, they needed a guy, I mean, as we know, for you know, OTAs and things like that. You know, that's what they're worried about. They need an arm, a guy that's like a little bit of a professional. Jordan Love's raw, young. They need somebody that can run practice and do those type of things. You know, so Bortles has a little history with Nathaniel Hackett, the offensive coordinator there, and that's why that's done. I got a little chuckle and giggle out of that yesterday too.
I'd love to see the first text message Aaron Rodgers sent after hearing that Blake Bortles had signed. I mean, if this guy calls Brian Gutekunst Jerry Krause, what the hell does he call Blake Bortles? Maybe he calls him Blake Bortles. but they need the arm. They need the body.
They do.
This is in anticipation of the upcoming OTAs, and they only had 2 quarterbacks on the roster anyway. They need more than Blake Bortles. They're going to need to add at least one other guy to get through all the reps of the 90-man roster in training camp and OTAs, and they may need to add a second one. If Aaron Rodgers isn't going to be there, this is not the end. This is the beginning of the quarterbacks the Green Bay Packers may be adding, but everything the Packers do at this point from a quarterback standpoint will generate news. More news yesterday from John Kuhn, who last week was on CBS Sports Radio explaining that he believes the Aaron Rodgers situation is fixable. James Jones, former teammate of Rodgers as well, was on NFL Network explaining that the situation is fixable. My interpretation of it, very simple. These guys talk to Rodgers, and unless they are talking publicly about the things they've talked to Rodgers about with his express or implied permission, he risks joining me on the Aaron Rodgers it list, which is...
Yeah,
almost
I like that.
The word.
The it list.
So Kuhn was back talking yesterday. He was on NFL Network and reiterating his belief that the situation is fixable and pointing out one of the things we said. Doesn't matter how much you're paying him under a new contract. It's the structure. It's the guarantee. It's
right.
The knowledge that you're going to be there. That's the key. You can pay him $50 million a year. If you only have him for 1 year, if you still have that structure where you can say after 1 year, see you later, we're trading you. Problem isn't solved. Problem's only solved if the Packers have no practical ability to cut him, trade him or cut him. They can't do it. And Kuhn, bottom line, we're friends. We talk. We played 10 years together, and I think it's fixable. And there's no way in hell he is doing that without Aaron Rodgers wanting him to do it. He may not realize that Aaron Rodgers wants him to do it, but Aaron Rodgers clearly... And this is one of the byproducts of being so smart. You're viewed as somebody who is smart enough
to know how, if you're not going to speak directly, to get your message out through surrogates.
Sure.
Now, for some reason, Kuhn didn't appreciate that I couched it in a factual manner, which is exactly what it was and what it is. And I think he wants to beat me up, Chris, so I may need your help. I don't know, though. I don't know. 6'5" quarterback versus a fullback. I'm probably putting my money on the fullback. I will remember this, Mike Florio, and I will find you. What the hell? As I said, if I end up dead, search the trunk of Kuhn's car, please. Chris, I may need your help. I may need you and Phil. In fact, Phil's thicker than you. I'd probably rather have Phil watching my back than you when John Kuhn comes looking for me.
Hey, screw you, okay? Screw you. Phil's 65, all right? Screw you, all right? Either way, me or Phil, we don't want any piece of John Kuhn. You're on your own on that one, buddy, okay? You mean the guy who used to smash his face into middle linebackers for a living? No, I'm not messing with that. That's one of those positions where really nobody on a football team messes with the fullback. Everybody knows he's the crazy guy in the locker room. Everybody knows, like, he's the one guy that if you got in a fight with and you were bashing his face in, he would still be like, so what? Let's keep going. So nobody wants to mess with that guy, and I want no part of John Kuhn. So you're in deep crap, man. I'm telling you, if we see
at
him,
least just, there, at least there's evidence.
I'm stepping out
Thank
of the way.
Thank God for social media. There's evidence.
Was that so, it? So no more tweets at each other or anything? That was all he had? Didn't,
I don't think he responded to my second response, which was, right. But my second response was, this isn't that complicated. He talks to Rodgers. He talks to the media. If he's saying anything publicly that Aaron Rodgers doesn't want him to say, he's going to hear from Aaron Rodgers or not hear from Aaron Rodgers ever again.
Yeah.
So it really does not take a genius, which qualifies me for this assignment, to understand that Rodgers is using former teammates with whom he speaks, who will then speak to the media to get his message out. And the message is, he's laying the foundation to show up and say, hey, everybody, I'm back.
Yeah.
What's the big deal? Why are all the TV trucks here?
Wait, definitely it looks like he's laying the foundation for that to go, you know, hey, it's fixable. I can still come back and, you know, play football. And like we've talked about a lot, he's got no issues with any players in the locker room or no coaches on the staff. That's going to make it easier for him to walk back and, you know, hold his head high or not feel like he was screwed over in the situation, even though he was. But like, Mike, I'm with you 100%. You know, I mean, I might let Kuhn beat the crap out of you, but I'll sit there and argue with him that your point was still right. Like, you're right. You know, whether Rodgers is doing it and, you know, yeah, maybe manipulating him, I would think really in my history with these situations and knowing this, that they're just flat out talking. And Kuhn's probably a little bit like, hey, they want to talk to me about your situation here. And he's probably texting or calling Rodgers, telling him that. What do you want me to say? What's the message I should convey? That's to me how I would imagine that is kind of going down there. But I'm with you on the read of everything else.
Look at it this way.
Yeah.
Since this was Kuhn's second media appearance.
Yes.
In roughly a week.
Right.
If he had said anything the first time around on CBS Sports Radio, comments that were picked up and covered by us and others, if he had said anything other than what Aaron Rodgers wanted him to say then, there would not have been a second media appearance. Hey, John, do me a favor. Just I appreciate it. I love you, but just...
Yeah, just stay out of it.
It's a delicate time.
Yeah.
And it would probably be better if we just don't do this again. You can do all the media you want. Just I'd prefer that you know, if you're going to say that you've talked to me, just say Aaron has asked me politely to not comment on his situation. It's not hard to do. And the fact that Kuhn was on NFL Network saying what he said yesterday tells me that Aaron Rodgers, fully aware of what he said last week, had no problem with it and wanted him to say it again. Again, this is, look, when you're going to be smart guy, when you're going to be, I got a 35 on the Wonderlic, Brett, what did you get? When you're going to be that guy, you get a level of strategy and sophistication imputed to you, regardless of whether or not it's there. But I'm going to assume that Aaron Rodgers knows exactly what he's doing here because he's a smart guy. Is that fair?
Yeah, I do. I think it's fair with this. I'm not going to push back on that. You know, I do think there's times where we all look a little too deeply into things he says, but this is not, or things that are being said or manipulated. But this is one of those that, I don't think that's the case. That, yes, I think this has been percolating in his brain, for over a year since the day Jordan Love was drafted. So this has been a, you know, carefully planned attack throughout the season. He was probably thinking about it. And of course, in the offseason, he probably took some real time to think about it. So I'm with you there, Mike, because you know I love Aaron Rodgers. But this is one I'm with you all the way.
This situation has been on full boil for most of 2 weeks. Now, it dies down from time to time because there isn't anything to talk about. But 2 days after it broke and hijacked the draft, he's in Churchill Downs, talks to Mike Tirico. Tirico wants to put him on camera. He declines. That's his chance to say, I don't know what any of this is all about, Mike. I don't know where this is coming from. I don't know who's trying to make me look bad. I'm perfectly happy. I'm fine. There's no issue. Instead, Tirico talks to him and says on camera, there's a chasm, there's a fissure between the team and Aaron Rodgers. So also in this day and age, you have the opportunity anytime you want, get the cell phone device, shoot a video, put it on your Twitter account. I think he's got over 4 million followers. If he wants anything out there directly, he can do it. And he should do it. But it's up to him to decide not to do it. But if you don't do it and you talk to people like John Kuhn and James Jones and they speak after speaking to you,
then
we're going to assume that they're saying what you want them to say.
Yeah.
No. Sorry, John.
Right.
Sorry, John, if you didn't realize that's what your friend was doing, if you're a pawn in his broader game of chess, but that's exactly what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, agreed. I'm with you all the way. I am. I mean, I don't see it any different way. And listen, I don't sit here and blame Rodgers for what he's doing. I really don't. You know, I mean, again, it's a tough situation. We both agree that he's been kind of screwed. Yes. I mean, there's no doubt. And, you know, he's kind of screwed going forward with the lack of, you know, the team committing to him and all of those type of things. So I'm not mad at him for, you know, playing these little political games this way. I'm really not. You know, it's his life, it's his career, it's legacy, it's all being affected in a time where it should not be affected. And also, it's, you know, I just always go back to, yes, this is the bed Green Bay made, and come on, like what? We all knew Aaron Rodgers was going to be the most bitter SOB on the planet when they did that. So how did they not realize that he was going to be like this? So it shouldn't be shocking.
Hey, and you know, one last point before we take a break. As I said last week, Rodgers has every right to be mad at the Packers for what happened with Jordan Love. Every right. Packers fans should be upset with the Packers for what they did last year when they had clear needs that they didn't address by investing a 1 and a 4 in getting Jordan Love. But if I'm a Packers fan and I really take a step back and I look at this objectively, number one, creating an issue that required the brain trust to come see me at least 3 times when they had other things to do, dropping this bomb the first day of the draft and potentially distracting the GM and the rest of the front office as they had far more important work to do over the next 3 days. The idea that Rodgers wants Brian Gutekunst to be fired, unrebutted in any way by Aaron Rodgers. Those are things that I would look at. And then throw on top of it the report that he was telling teammates last year who are due to become free agents, I may not be here next year. Those are things that I would look at as a Packers fan and say you're undermining the greater good. I understand you're upset, but don't undermine the greater good. Don't distract Brian Gutekunst and his staff during the draft. That's his most important 3 days of the year. Don't ask for him to be fired. Don't tell teammates you're not going to be here next year and wonder whether or not they're going to run off in free agency to another team. Don't distract the front office when they have free agency to deal with. So that's my concern if I'm a Packers fan.
Right.
And, of course, Packers fans are like, you're just trying to create division. No, I'm trying to point out facts.
Yeah.
I'd be upset.
Right.
And if you choose not to be upset, fine. That's your prerogative. But I'd be upset that this guy has tried to knock my team wobbly at a critical juncture of the offseason, Chris.
I know. I try to put myself in the Packers fans' shoes a little bit with this situation. You know, the thing I just keep coming back to is, like, yeah, you might be upset with some of the things Rodgers has done here recently. But, again, the team got wobbly from the team. I mean, it was a self-inflicted uppercut they threw into themselves. So it's like, if I'm a Packers fan, I'm a little annoyed with both sides. You know, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And I probably would be, you know, I'm biased here because I like Rodgers too much. I'd be more mad probably at the Packers team there. So I don't know if that's a good, honest answer.
But here's where Rodgers is operating on a higher level than the rest of us, because when he shows up and when he says everything's fine, the media made too much of it, there will be a large segment of the Packers fan base that swallows the hook.
Sure.
And never questions and is just happy he's back and will gladly join him in blaming us for making a big deal about something that was and still is a big deal. He just happens to have decided to show up and make his money and not pay back $11.5 million in signing bonus allocation and another $6.8 million in a roster bonus he's earned and give up $14.7 million in salary. Let's take a break. When we return, it had been quiet regarding Deshaun Watson. As of last night, it's not quiet. There's been a statement issued by Tony Busby, the lawyer representing the 22 women who have sued Deshaun Watson, and he says plenty in there. We'll break it down when PFT Live continues right after this. It had been very quiet regarding the Deshaun Watson situation. Nearly 3 weeks since the parties were in court, the lawyers accusing each side of destroying evidence. It had been cantankerous. It felt like it would continue to be cantankerous. Instead, it fell deathly silent in advance of the draft. There was some speculation that a settlement could be had before the draft, laying the foundation for an in-draft or maybe post-draft Deshaun Watson trade. Settlement hasn't happened. Continued to be quiet, very quiet, up until last night. Tony Busby, who represents the 22 women suing Deshaun Watson for sexual misconduct during massage therapy sessions, issued a statement, or more accurately provided quotes on the record to Mark Berman of Fox 26 in Houston, and a couple of takeaways. First of all, Busby said a settlement is not happening. That's important because that's the first we've heard from anyone involved in this regarding whether and to what extent settlement talks are occurring. Doesn't mean they haven't talked, though, Chris. What it means to me is, and I firmly believe, they have been talking, but they have reached an impasse on one or more key issues that are preventing these cases from getting resolved. And sometimes what happens in a case like this, you find a way to apply a little pressure, to show a little bit of the sword, to do something to break that logjam. And that may be what Busby's calculated effort was in making the quote that he made last night to try to break the ice and get these cases settled.
Yeah, I mean, it's curious that we have heard nothing. I mean, I always listen to you in these type of matters. And I would have thought, yes, that there is settlement conversations going down here. But, you know, with this whole thing here, I mean, I don't know. How long does that take to iron out to get a settlement figured out and all of that typically, Mike? I mean, I would think this one's going to take a long time with 22 plaintiffs, right, and everything like that. I wasn't expecting an end result, but I guess I'm surprised to hear you think this is just more of like propaganda or playing the angle of the game here to get what he wants.
I think that there are some global terms that are holding back the resolution, and that you got to get to a place where everyone's happy on a term that would apply to all 22. Because you could go in and you could settle one, two, this one. Trim it down. That's one way to do it. You trim it down to the cases that are the ones that are the hardest to resolve. But when you're dealing with one lawyer who has all 22 of the plaintiffs, and there is real value in getting all the cases resolved. What's the value to Deshaun Watson in settling 3 of 22? Oh, wow, only 19 left, right? You can chip away, but it still lingers. The cases move forward. At some point, you have to testify under oath in a deposition where Tony Busby is going to grill you for 8 hours about what you did, what you didn't do, and every other thing about the cases. So there's value in making all 22 come to a conclusion. And my guess is that there are one or more global terms that would apply to all 22 settlements that are keeping it from happening. That's just my guess. I think that part of this too, and this is the other side of what Busby had to say, he expressed concern about the way the NFL is handling the Deshaun Watson
investigation.
What
do you take away from that?
Well, and let me tell you what he had to say specifically. His concern is that of 4 women who met with Lisa Friel, who's the NFL employee in charge of these matters, some of the women did not feel like they were being respected. That is Busby's quote to Mark Berman. And Busby actually said he got involved in the most recent meeting that occurred, the 4th one. I guess so the client will feel like her concerns are being more adequately respected, addressed, whatever. And I don't know what that means. Does it mean they don't think that they're taking it seriously? Does it mean that they don't like the questions? They don't like the tone? They don't like the fact that they feel like they're being accused? Because, you know, sometimes in getting to the bottom of a situation,
exactly,
there's a level of curiosity,
right,
that morphs into a question that someone could be defensive about, reasonably.
Sure. Right.
If you don't have experience in that system, you're thinking, hey, I'm telling a story. I know what happened to me. What's with all these questions? You make me feel like you don't believe me. So that's possible, too. Either way, Chris, he's putting public pressure on the league to do something, to take it more seriously. And that puts pressure indirectly on Deshaun Watson because, hey, if we don't get these cases resolved, I'm stirring up the NFL's hornet nest, and the Hornets aren't going to fly at me. They're going to fly at you, Deshaun, because the only way they can deal with me, other than saying, you know, that I'm the one who's at fault, and they will do some of that, but it puts the NFL on notice that they need to do everything they can for their own PR interests to create the impression that they are properly handling these cases,
yeah,
which means a little more aggressively toward Deshaun Watson and maybe move a little more gingerly when talking to the women whose cooperation the NFL has to have, or they can't do anything. They can't force these people to talk. So if these folks aren't comfortable talking, all Busby has to say is, that's it, we're done. No more of these people are going to cooperate.
Well, then they're not going to get the result they want from the NFL punishing Deshaun Watson, so they got to do that. You know, listen, some of the things I will not buy, the NFL's taking it seriously. Come on, I don't care. Busby does a great job of putting pressure on the NFL, getting his message out, all those type of things. The NFL has been the opposite ever since the Ray Rice issue. It's they care too much. They're too harsh on the players. So it's very hard for me not to believe that the NFL is not taking this extremely seriously. And yes, even within that, you know, Lisa Freer, yeah, she's trying to get to the bottom of things here, you know. And I'm sure she's done a little, you know, background checks on some of these women and the accusations. And I'm sure she's asking some tough questions that they don't like, to, like you said, to get to the bottom of this. You know, that's where it to me, is just an innocent bystander here. I look at it where, yeah, if it's your own lawyer, the guy you hired, he always asks you, you know, the good questions in a good way and makes you feel good about your case. This is someone trying to get to the bottom of it. They're not, you know, applying guilt to either side here. So, I mean, that's kind of how I took it, Mike. I don't know where this goes, but I would think that if Busby wants what he wants out of this situation, he continues to let, you know, his clients talk to the NFL.
One of the things that Busby said in explaining the discomfort that the women were feeling in talking to the league office, let's be clear, he said, every time these women recount this situation, they have to relive it. Now, that's a two-edged sword, because if this litigation goes forward, they will be grilled for 8 hours about everything that happened. And one of the things that a plaintiff sometimes learns the hard way, and I always tried to explain this to clients before they would file a lawsuit, and frankly, you know, in the conference room as we're having our initial meeting, at some point I would say, I don't need you to tell me the answer to this question, but you need to answer this question for yourself. What's the worst thing you've ever done, you've ever said, you've ever been involved in any way that you would not want people to know about? What's the worst thing? Don't tell me. You don't need to tell me, but you have to assume if you go forward, it's going to come out. One way or the other, you're going to have to deal with it. And that becomes an issue, Chris, whenever someone claims that they have suffered any type of emotional distress,
right,
mental anguish,
right,
pain and suffering. Lawyers will use that as an opening of the door to delve into all the other adversities, all the other traumas, all the other stressors that an individual has experienced. Because if this person is damaged, we need to figure out what damaged them.
Yeah.
Was it this interaction with my client? Was it something else?
Right.
Was it an abusive spouse? Was it some other thing that occurred, something they did to create trauma in their lives? You're opening your life to all sorts of stuff. And, you know, these things got filed so quickly, you hope that all 22 of the individuals
realize
what they've signed up for, because it's more than just reliving that trauma. It will eventually be, when questioned by Rusty Harden and his associates, reliving pretty much every trauma you've ever experienced in your life and every negative impact from the interaction with Deshaun Watson. And they already knew it. It's not like Busby saying that changes anything. They were still going to do it. But this confirms that this litigation process, and lawyers do it all the time, defense lawyers do it all the time. It's in the playbook, if there is one. You make the experience as legitimately unpleasant as possible under the guise of, I'm just doing my job. That's how it works. That's how the game is played.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm not surprised to hear that. You know, I'm, and again, too, these are serious accusations. So I can't fault the defense for having serious, really tough questions here. You know, yeah, they got to see. I mean, we, and again, I'm not trying to say anything, but we've seen plenty of cases where we know people in these situations do lie and things like that. I've seen it both ways in the NFL.
Hey,
and I'm not
regardless,
trying to,
but Chris,
yeah,
Chris,
yeah,
they've already said, Rusty Harden has already said, we believe they are lying.
Right.
So does that mean that when it's time to question them face to face under oath, they're going to operate with kid gloves? Or does that mean they're throwing the gloves down and it's time to start swinging?
That's right.
They're coming after these people.
Yeah.
This is going to be the most unpleasant experience of their lives when they're grilled by Rusty Harden, because he's already said, I think you're lying.
Yeah. No, I mean, yes, that's part of the pain they have to relive. And then, you know, I know that's not easy. If this was true and it was tough for these women and all those type of things, I know that's not an easy situation. Definitely not. But yeah, it's within the rights of Harden and Watson to cross-examine and do those type of things to protect Watson, who's Harden's client. So we'll see where it goes. I mean, again, Mike, like, okay, so here we are. I'm going to ask you, pasta meatballs, all right? What's anything new in the gut? Do you think this is going to get resolved before the season's over? You got any info that you hear out there where you feel like you got a lean either way?
I think that what Busby's doing here is trying to apply some extra pressure to Rusty Harden and Deshaun Watson to get whatever it is that is holding up a settlement. Whatever that issue is, whatever the issue is, one or more issues, whatever it is, he's trying to get it resolved. I think that this is his way of stirring the pot just enough to nudge it toward resolution. My gut continues to be that these cases get settled before training camp.
Okay.
But, you know. I wouldn't wager money on that, in large part because I wouldn't wager money on anything because I am extremely cheap. But I just believe if I had to pick one or the other, settled or not settled before training camp, I think these cases are going to get settled before training camp. Let's take a break. When we return, we're going to take a look at the teams that have the easiest
schedule
and the toughest
schedules
early in the season. I forgot to shave. I'm so excited. More PFT Live right after this.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.